All right, guys, welcome to another founding member club only call here. Of course, I'm Josh Pellicero. Brad's here as well. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Hey, Josh.
Yo. So today I'm going to jump right into the content here because we've got a lot of things to cover, and I want to get as much time as I can to answer as many questions as possible, which I'm assuming there are going to be a lot of situational questions after today's talk, because today we're talking about two things. We're going to be talking about banter, which is a very well-discussed topic, generally speaking, when it comes to my students. It is one of the most important questions to answer, and that question, of course, being, what do I say? More important, in my opinion, is how you say that. So we're going to be talking about what perfect banter is and how to come across in a way that seems really playful and generates a lot of attraction, for sure, rather than kind of, just slumming your way through that process and hoping that it works out for long enough until you can kind of, convince her to split and go somewhere else or jump in rapport with you. So we're going to be talking about that. And also, we're going to be talking about a little bit in the beginning here about what's called dropping state. So dropping state is essentially whenever you start to downward spiral in an evening. But more importantly, I'm going to talk a little bit about another type of dropping state, which is where you are with a girl, you're talking to her, say you meet her at a bar or something, you're talking to her, and then you say, hey, let's, everything's going great, you kiss or something, say you kiss and you make out and she's loving it and everything, and then you have to make that decision of like, okay, I gotta go for this, and you say, let's go back to my place, and she says, okay, well, you get in the car to go back, and now, you're not really in the bar anymore. It's not the same environment. She sits down. It's a total sort of a mindset shift. How do you keep her excited the whole way back and make her want to, want to sleep with you or hook up with you when you get back or continue when you get back to your place? So I'm going to talk a little bit about both of those things. Both are really in-depth topics. So if you have any questions about them, I'd love to hear them. If you're listening online on the webcast version of this call, go ahead and type any questions you might have about any similar topics about flirting and banter, or about keeping state or what's called dropping state, which is where you kind of lose control of it. Type those questions in to that box. If you're not listening on the web, then you can go ahead and press *2 on your phone and you'll raise your hand and I'll know that you have a question about this process. So first, I don't normally do this, but first I'm going to actually jump straight into a question from Dan in Seattle. Brad, do you want to go ahead and let everyone know what that question is?
Yeah. So Dan's asking, he said, how much of a factor is the location of where you live? He said he's a college student, and most of the women that he meets don't have cars, and he doesn't have a car, and he rides the bus to school. Says it takes him an hour to get to his university, where he typically meets women, and that's on bus. And he says he brought a girl home a couple weeks ago, but she only lives a couple blocks away. So his question is, how do you get a girl to go out of her way to meet you at a place when it seems to Dan, at least, that it's so inconvenient, this hour-long bus ride that's, necessary for him to get to his place? And is it easier to just, like, flake or suggest a location closer to her, like maybe meeting up on campus? Or should he be trying to get to her place instead? And what's the sort of the process for that?
Okay, so this dovetails nicely into our conversation, which is nice. It's not always that's the case. but so, Dan, the major thing you got to understand here is that logistics is going to be your biggest hurdle to jump over in general. What I learned about logistics and hooking up, which is really what it's about, because logistics isn't about long-term relationships. You never go, I really want to date this girl, but she lives an hour away. Or it takes an hour to get to her place by bus.
Right.
Like, you don't ever say that. It's all about hooking up with chicks. So if you're having this sort of question, That leads me to believe that really what you're going for here is something quick, and you're sort of boosting the attraction a bunch, and you want to just rock it out and get back and hook up with her at her place or your place. So I'm going to speak straight to that because I think that that is really, especially whenever I was studying this. And when I say studying, I mean when I was going out a lot and practicing, really, and coming back and going over my notes of what happened that night and everything. And I started getting a little bit better. And this is one of the first things I ran into that was a really big problem for me. Is that okay? Now I could actually make it happen. I could build the attraction, but I really couldn't convince them to come back to my place or something. And I lived really far away too. I had a car, but it was a long drive. So it was like if you can imagine, there's a area. DC is a lot like this, and this happened a lot in DC to us too. When I go to the visit, there's like a bunch of places outside DC. They're like an hour away by car, not even by bus. And but everyone goes to DC to party and everything. So when you got there, and you know, if they met a bunch of girls and you want to go hang out with them, it was pretty difficult. Oftentimes the girls want to come back to your place because they are a little bit self-conscious about their place. So there are two options here, two things you can do. The first is do what's called building state. This is what we're going to talk about today, so I'll kind of leave that one alone for now. But you can do what's called building state. Some people call it keeping state too. And you can do that all the way back to your place. I will say though, that is about as much work as it is to get a girl interested enough to go home with you in the first place. So you're halfway done. Whenever she says, "Let's go back to your place," the game is halfway over, right? So if you can think about that might be a little bit overwhelming. So let's talk a little bit about instead, and I'll talk about how to do that in a bit. Sometimes it can be seamless. Sometimes it can be a disaster, and you'll get 95% of the way there, and she'll want you to turn around and drop her off, or she'll want to go back, you know. But you really need plausible deniability on your side in some kind of way, right? So it needs to make logistical sense for her to go back to your place, even if it doesn't make full logistical sense. And let me tell you what I mean by that. There's something called plausible deniability, and it's something I talk about often, but plausible deniability is basically another reason, any other reason she can have. Well, actually, plausible deniability technically is just a reason behind a reason, right? A reason that is on the surface that everyone takes as being true. Now, this can be about anything. You can have plausible deniability about one thing you see is happening a lot is nuclear power programs in countries. A lot of countries will ask for a nuclear power program, and they want to build a nuclear division of their company, and then sorry, of their company, of their country, and of course that could be plausible deniability to build a nuclear weapon. So a lot of countries won't let them do that. So they took that plausible deniability thing very seriously. Now, when it comes to hooking up, that same kind of plausible deniability about you know that we see people hesitating around for nuclear weapons is the exact same thing that women hesitate around when it comes to hooking up with you or sleeping with you, dropping the F-bomb, as we might say.
That's for a French kiss, by the
Yes, as far as anyone knows, that is for French kiss.
way.
So what you really need to do here is you have to use plausible deniability wherever possible. Wherever it can possibly be on your side, you have to use it. And that basically means if you're going to have her come back to your place, it has to be a good enough reason on the surface to do it. And you have to seem to handle all of the technical details about how she's going to get back. Now, you don't actually have to handle them. You just have to seem to handle them. That's really the most important thing. Because really, she doesn't really care. She just doesn't want to feel like a slut 90% of the time. You know, she can't openly go, "Hey, I know I just met you, but I really want to get laid tonight. So let's go back to your place," because she feels like she's worthless whenever she does that. So what you have to do is help her save face here. And the way that you will do that is you will give her a back door to get out of whatever you're doing in the conversation whenever you go. So let's say that it was like your place was an hour away, right? If you don't have a car, Dan, I'm going to say that the best thing you can do is either get a ride with somebody into town who's going out with you. It's like a wingman. If you're in Seattle, I know we have a lot of members, DAO members in Seattle. So I know you can go out to a place, try to find somebody who's right, lives near you. They can pick you up, swoop out. You guys can go to the bar, hang out, and then you got to bring back two girls if you can, you know, unless, you know, he's willing to just be like, no problem, I'll drop you guys off or whatever. But preferably you have two girls that you bring back, and then you both hang out with them. So whenever you do that, essentially, by car, I'm guessing if it's a bus ride, it's an hour. By car, it's probably like 20 minutes. I mean, that's usually how it works, 20 to 30 minutes in the car. And that is pretty much nothing. That's easy stuff, you know. Then you just like turn the music up a little bit, sing and laugh and have a conversation, and then you're home, right? No problem. But avoid that bus. That bus is going to ruin your chances. That bus is the biggest, slowest moving cock block of all time. You know, you don't want to be on that thing. And it's not because, oh, it's like you're on a budget or you don't have a car or whatever. That's not what kills your chances. What kills your chances is the lighting. It is bright as balls in that bus. You don't want to be there. It's like leaving from like an opium den, and then like being shoved into, you know, on stage or something where it's like lights pointing at people. It's like really, really bad idea. You know, it's all dark and loud and stimulating, and it's a different world in the club. And whenever you leave, or a bar, whenever you leave that environment, that social, crazy, like party time environment, and you land on a bus, it's like, you know, it's really like landing in a hospital. And there's homeless people, and there's all sorts of crazy shit going on. So her emotional brain's going to kick off like that. And her logical brain is going to start to kick on. And when that happens, you'll lose her. So you don't want that to happen. Instead, you want to handle all logistics. So the number one thing I would say is don't make this hard for yourself. Get a friend who has a car, who's in the DAO community. So you have access to these guys. Go in the DAO Badass members area. Click on the map. It's a huge map now. We have thousands and thousands of members that are located on this map, so you can find them. So it takes maybe 30 to sometimes 40 seconds to load this thing. So let it load. Then find your area, find Seattle, and then find your own, where you are actually located in Seattle. It should be right there. It should be obvious to see. And then you'll see a bunch of guys nearby. As soon as you see these guys nearby, I want you to click on them, and you can get information about them, and then you can go ahead right there and send them a message. Like, so you can see, like, you know, where they are, how long they've been members, stuff like that, and then you can send them a message directly. I'm going to go ahead and find you real quick on here, just to make sure that you're not living in some. But actually, I can't get into your account. Never mind. I was gonna log into your account real quick and make sure that you're in an area that has got a lot of people. But actually, I'm not getting in. So I'm just gonna let you do that. I was gonna tell you exactly how to do it, but I'll let you do that, Dan. So go ahead and do that and ride with somebody. Now, besides that, if you're going out by yourself and you can't get a ride, you are not going to push them to come back to your place that night. Instead, you're going to push to go to their place that night. Even if you need to go to some place nearby their place that night, that's better. So here's the way to do that. While you're in rapport, because you're going to be going into rapport before you go home with them anyway, right? While you're in rapport, at some point, you need to bring up where they live, and it has to be in a really nonchalant kind of way, right? So the best way to do that is to say something like, tell a story and somehow relate it back to where you live, and then as a side note, ask where they live, right? So you may say something like, she says something about dogs or whatever, like she has a dog, let's say, and you say, you know, I live way over at so-and-so, and it's funny because I see a lot of people there who are walking their dogs, right? Where do you live, by the way? What part of town do you live in? Okay, cool, you live there. So it's different than where you are, right? But for me, so you basically make it seem like that wasn't the point of the conversation. But really what you're doing is a secret recon here. And you're going in the middle of a conversation, having a side note that seems like a distraction. This is really important. Really important that it's a distraction. Otherwise, it's too obvious that you're collecting data for later on, and she will resist because it'll kind of take her out of that romantic state. So you don't want to do that. So what you do is get that information, and then I want you to circle back later on if you can, and in that conversation. So say you build rapport, things start to get sexual, and then you go, you know what we should do? We should go to blah bar. So maybe another bar that is near their place. So instead of jumping straight to their place, which can be kind of a big thing, if she's like making out with you and going crazy, just go for it. Like leave, you know, just be like, let's go back to your place and, you know, have a glass of wine and continue there where it's not so loud, right? But again, you're not going to say, let's go back to your place so I can, you know, videotape us having sex. Like, you know, like you're not going to say whatever it is that's really on your mind. Instead, you're going to say something else and you're going to wait to see if it happens, right? There will be times in your life where you get to the place that you're going, whatever is her place, your place, and you use plausible deniability and she goes there with you. And then you go to make a move and she's like, oh, no, 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 I don't want that. I just wanted to come see your cat do backflips. You know, whatever it is that you said before. Like, that will happen, you know. And usually that's not because she didn't want to sleep with you. 95% of the time it's because she got logical along the way and decided to take that back door that you left her before, right? That's what plausible deniability is. She felt a little scared. She felt like things were moving too fast for her to feel comfortable, or more importantly, that somebody knows that she left with you. This would almost completely ruin your chances if she knows, if somebody knows that she left with you that night and she only met you that night, especially if she has very judgmental friends. This can completely ruin your chances. So you have to be a little patient when it comes to this stuff. That's why it's important that you go out often, because so there are going to be times in which you go back to her place or your place and it doesn't work out and you can't freak out about it. You have to be okay. You have to be like basically cool with anything. You know, if you get over to her place and she doesn't want to hook up, or she's like, okay, I got to go to sleep. You go, no problem. Just, you know, whatever. You know, if you already have her number, then great. I'll let you know. I'll text you later on this week. We'll grab a cup of coffee, right? Or a cup of tea. But if you don't have her number, just be like, that's completely cool. I'm actually really tired myself, so I was hoping that you'd say that. So let me grab your number real quick and I'll buzz you a little later on, and we'll hang out later this week, you know? So basically you're going to pull back out. You already have the attraction. And then whenever you meet up with her next time, you're going to breeze through the first part of that process, the attraction rapport process, just to make sure it's still there. And then you're going to jump back into seduction again, and it'll be a really quick maneuver for you, especially if you meet up with her during the daytime. So what a lot of guys I see screw up, is they get really impatient. So they want to get laid that night. They're like, no, I have to. I have to hook up with a chick tonight. I have to, you know, go have sex with her tonight. Because it's like, it's not really that they need, you know, that they're sex trades maniacs. It's that it's an accomplishment thing. You know, it's like, I really need to prove to myself that I can do this. Well, whenever you do that, you start making mistakes that come across as really needy. And you kill all the attraction when you come across as needy. So you really have to sort of agree ahead of time that you're going to be cool with taking a couple of days to let this happen at times, from time to time. Not always, you know, but sometimes you have to be cool letting this happen over a couple of days or a couple of weeks or whatever. So what I would do in my head is I would kind of juggle. I would have some women that were kind of quick, right? So I would go to hook up with a girl, and I basically go through the same process in the beginning every time. I try to get back to her place and try to sleep with her if it was, you know, the first date. The first time I met her, right, that same night. If it didn't seem like it was working out very well, rather than plow through it really difficultly, like, and try to, like, get through it really rough and make it happen, which usually ends up in a lot of what's called buyer's remorse, where a girl's really bummed out that she hooked up with you so fast. And I don't like that. I like to leave women better than I found them. So I don't want them to, like, think about me and have a bad taste in their mouth afterwards, you know? I want them to be positive. I want them to be like, wow, that was awesome, and I'd do it again if given the opportunity, you know? So what I do is I try to go for that. If that doesn't work, and I see it being difficult, right? So the logistics are getting difficult, or they're starting to back out a lot, and I can't really keep it together, which will happen sometimes. Toward the end of my using this stuff when I was living in New York City when I was still single, I did I never found a situation that I couldn't handle. I was never meeting a girl and hanging out with her and then had to wait to sleep with her. That didn't happen. Right. So as time went by, I got really good at that, and I was able to handle any logistics and to plow over any sort of like fake resistance, if it was fake, right? If it was real resistance, then I knew to back up and go through the process again to build some actual intrigue. So I basically could do whatever I wanted to. It was like I could see the Matrix, and it's like I could fly. I could bend the rules around me. I could make anything work. And even if I screwed something up royally, I could go back and fix it. But if you're not quite there yet, and that took me a long time to get there because I didn't have the information that you have access to now. With the stuff that I teach, I was learning it still back then. It took me a long time to figure that out, and I think it'll take you a lot less time. So just make sure you keep studying and you keep bringing up questions like that in the members area and keep growing and keep improving. But ultimately, what you want to do is eliminate any kind of a logistical problem that you have in the first place. So go to a place that is like a, it's kind of like a lily pad, like you're playing leapfrog here. You've got your current location, you've got her house, and you've got your house. These are three places that you have in mind currently. What most guys don't do is they don't consider places in between your current location and either of those locations, right? So a place is in between your current place, where you are at the bar, and your house, if it's closer, or between your current location at the bar or wherever, and their place. And if you can jump to a place as a change of scenery, you do two things. One, you make use of what's called a time warp. A time warp is where we have, it's basically a psychological concept, and it's a really amazing and kind of fascinating idea that you have a certain number of experiences that you expect are possible in an evening. And everybody has this, right? We don't measure time by hours and minutes. We measure time by experiences. So if you have a lot of experiences in a very short period of time, then you sort of think that you've had a really quote unquote long day, right? That's what a long day is. Long day is having lots of new experiences that are all in a short period of time. So instead of having like a normal day, which is you expect to have, let's say two to three relatively new experiences, that would be a normal day. A short day, like a day got by me really fast, like I didn't even think, I'd blinked and the day was gone, was having 0 to 1 new experiences that day. But if you have 8 or 9, it seems like a really, really long day, right? So the same thing happens whenever you experience an environment with someone you just met. So this is a really good way to solidify rapport, is to jump from one location to another location after you build rapport. Now, what this does is essentially it takes you from knowing somebody in that one environment, which is what they'd expect, to knowing someone in two completely separate environments. And on top of that, walking into the second environment with that person. So it's almost as if you enter that place, trusting them more than everybody else, right? They enter that place trusting you more than they trust everybody else in that environment because you walked in together. Right, so now in all, for all intents and purposes, they know you better than they know everybody else there. This is a very important concept because the first bar, that wasn't the case. They left, they showed up with some other friends or whatever. They knew them better than they knew everybody else. They met you. Now you go into a new place together, and it's you sort of have the rapport card in your favor, in your corner. It's working for you. So it makes good use of that time warp. They think they've known you for a lot longer than they actually have, and that works in your favor whenever you are going to hook up with them that evening because they'll feel like they've known you for 2, 3 weeks, sometimes even longer, depending on how much rapport you've built and how many different places you went to. Now, the other thing that it does is it allows you a sort of drop point. Sort of like if you think about video games, this is kind of like your save point in your video game, right? You get there, it's like you hit the save button, and now no matter what happens, you'll always be right there instead of having to start all over again. And this is really important because when you get to that second point, that drop zone right there, you are now within range of her place. You're now in a position where you can say, do you have any board games at your house? And she, in sort of like what seems like a drunken spur of the moment idea. And she's like, yeah, I do. I have Parcheesi or something, Then you go, you know what? I'm going to challenge you to a game of Parcheesi right now. Let's go get a bottle of wine and then let's go back to your place. I want to play you a Parcheesi and I'm going to whoop the shit out of you. And then he's like, fine, you're on, So then you split. All right, Parcheesi, the board game thing was your plausible deniability. You're leaping from there to her place, so she doesn't have any logical reason why you shouldn't be there, right? You have another reason to go, which is that you're going to play board games. And she knows because you want to get a bottle of wine that this is going to be, she's going to have an opportunity to hook up with you still, right? So if you just say, let's go back to your place and play board games, that's kind of like, what if she wants to hook up with you, right? If she really wants to hook up with you and you say that, and you don't leave some other kind of back door for her to for it to go in a romantic direction for her, then she may be like, nah, I don't really want to play Parcheesi tonight, And then she may be like trying to figure out the logistics in her head, and then of course, when she does that, she snaps out of her emotional state, she now becomes logical, she now doesn't want to hang out, and you're SOL for the evening, right? So instead of doing all that and screwing all that up, which I've done countless times. You want to use that plausible deniability and use that jump point from that's nearby her place or nearby your place. One great thing to do is to have a bar that is near your place because one thing that's going to be consistent no matter who you hook up with is that you're still going to be living at your place, right? Unless you're moving, in which case you get a new one. But you can find a bar, a couple preferably, near your place. That is fun, but not super loud, and where you can go in a few days before you start going out to meet women. You can go in and get to know the bartenders by name. Now, this is really important. This is probably the biggest secret of really effective dates as well. So dates that build sexual attraction. Very, very quickly and escalate sexual attraction very quickly. These kinds of dates are sort of built on top of the backbone or the structure of having this social proof in an environment, preferably nearby your house, right? So you want to go in a little bit early in the evening, so before it gets really busy. And if it's a restaurant that turns into a bar or whatever, then they'll probably be busy up until right before the bar opens. Right, solely as a bar. So you want to pick the perfect timing, go in, get a drink, and just chat with a bartender. Right, if it's a girl or guy, it doesn't matter. You just want to make it feel like you know what it's like to be a bartender, right? And one of the things that you may want to ask is any kind of question about work besides like surveying them, like, so how do you like it here? Do you meet a lot of cool people? Whatever. Like that. Don't do that shit. Instead, go so. This is a much better question. So, tell me, did you have any crazy customers today? And they'd be like, oh my God, this one guy earlier, right? They start telling you these stories, you're in, right? You're cool. They stop talking to you like you are a customer, and they start talking to you like you are a friend or a coworker or somebody. That's when you're in. That's when it works. That's when you get free drinks. So, and of course, value in this case. So what you want to do is you want to spend a couple of days actually doing this work. You want to be like you want to go in and you want to sit down and you want to just spend $20 on drinks and tip well and ask these kind of questions. How's work going? Is it good? How's work going today so far? Is good. Do you have any crazy customers so far? Or what's the craziest customer you had today? A couple other ones are geez, when I was a bartender, I had a lot of amazing conversations like this. You can ask if anybody asks you for a crazy retarded drink or what drink pisses you off the most to make. You can build whatever kind of rapport you want with these people, as long as it is something that feels like a question you'd ask if you worked there. So if you just imagine you were working there, and you ask like, what is it the thing about this bar that frustrates you more than anything else? Is it like the people, or is it like the ice machine, or the liquor selection, would you rather there's a better one? Another one is, which is really great, you can roll your drink order into is, What's a drink that you wish people would order more often so you'd have the chance to make it? But no one ever does because it's too out there, right? People just don't know about it, or they're not refined enough to order it. And they'll say, "Oh, I really like making a, gin martini, a perfect gin martini, whatever." And be like, "I'll take one. That sounds great," right?
Which I just did, by the way.
Did you just make a perfect gin martini?
That's pretty damn delicious, actually.
Are you drinking it right now?
Yeah.
God damn it.
What?
I want a gin martini.
It's
I
dirty as shit.
don't ever have dirty martinis because dirty martinis, when you order them at a bar, they scream cougar.
Well,
Cougars, they
I'm in
order
my
those.
studio right now, so
Yeah, so
get on it.
no worry of being thought of as a cougar.
Right.
But generally speaking, cougars are the only kind of people, period. Only kind of, not just women, but the only kind of people who will order dirty martinis. And they'll order extra dirty martinis all the time. It's just like what they do. That, and I guess Cosmos now are pretty big with cougars too, but I digress. So you let them make you their favorite drink, and you learn to enjoy that drink. You just like, whatever it is, you really sip it and enjoy it and talk to them about it and everything. Now, whenever you go through this process, like I said, you're basically building up social value. So whenever you do get her to go back to this jump point, whatever you've done so far will spike enormously when you get there. Because when you show up, the bartender will be like, "Hey, what's going on, Dan? How you doing, man?" And you're like, "What's up, Steve? What's up, Steve? I want to introduce you to my friend here. Her name is Samantha. Samantha, this is Steve. He makes the best perfect gin martinis in town, you know?" And then it's like all these connections, right? This seems so seamless and perfect and flawless, and just exactly like it was, like it's totally unscripted, but you did your recon and it's not an accident. All right, this is kind of a sneaky part. So what you can do now, because you have this place that's nearby your house, is all you have to do is get her to that jump point. You don't have to get her back to your place. So preferably, if they have a car, you can just be like, "Let's use your car to go back." Unless you've been drinking too much, in which case, you know what? Spring for a cab if it's worth it to you. I think it is. Personally, I've always thought that it was worth it. So spring for a cab if you can, or ride a bicycle, and just meet her there, or stay in that area, or go by her place, or a place nearby her place as well, and do that instead. But if you do have a car, or if you do end up nearby your place, making good use of that jump point will totally increase your sort of close rate, so to speak, your ability to get her back to your place and get sexual with her. So, let me just see if I got any other part of this.
The jump point is sort of a plausible deniability in itself. I mean, if you know that the distance between, where you're at and your place is really great, then having that place that's near your place, that's special in some way, like, oh, this is the coolest dive bar or whatever, like they have the best Pac-Man game or, like something like that, then it's reason to be near your place. And then you're like, well, I only live a block away, so.
Right, conveniently.
Yes.
But that's a good point. But you do also not have to try very hard to make this plausible deniability because it's a bar. It's not your place, right? He doesn't expect you to screw her in the bar, which you totally can do, by the way. But if you have never done that before, or you're not into that sort of thing, then you basically don't have to say much. She's already in a bar with you, usually. That's what she is, or at a party or whatever. She's already hanging out drinking. It's just more of the same, but in a different place, right? So, like, you gotta see this bar. It's like, they make these amazing drinks or whatever. It doesn't have to be much. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be so innocent as Pac-Man. It can be karaoke. It can be anything else. Darts. It can be that if you want.
Shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard, right? But it can also just be drinks. Let's go there. It's a little bit quieter or whatever, right? Not gonna be so loud. And sometimes I get free drinks because my friend works there, right? Okay, sweet. Let's go there. You don't need to convince people very hard to go and join you in that situation. So, I would keep that in mind, and that is really It's funny because this question was perfect about how to keep state up. It was kind of dovetailing perfectly into that. So I'm going to go ahead now and talk a little bit about if you do get in the car with her and take her there, what are you going to do in the car, right? What kind of mode should you be in? What should you talk about? And what's the best, sorry, what's the worst mistake you can make, and what's the best thing you can do to sort of ensure that by the time she gets to the place that you're headed to, she's either A, more interested in hooking up with you than she was before, or B, at the very least, this at the same level of interest in hooking up with you as she was before. So the first thing that I think is probably worth mentioning here is that it is a lot of work to keep someone's quote unquote state up. That basically means that if you want to keep her interested and excited, just as excited as she was when she first decided to go home with you, then what you really need to do is pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you and put the effort in to do it. If you think it's worth it for you to learn the techniques that I teach and the skills behind these techniques, and of course mastering this area of your life, which you've already agreed that's what you really want to do, is to master it, not just get okay at it. Because the Tao of Badass is really, and what I teach is really about mastering it, not about just being good enough. So since you've already done that, I'm assuming that you're willing to put in the extra effort to do this. I just wanted to let you know that it will be a little bit of work sometimes, and you will have to remember this stuff, and you may screw it up a couple times while you're learning. Just allow yourself that learning curve. So let's say that you do get the plausible deniability down. That's a really crucial component. If you're going back to your place, you're going to have to do a ton more of what's called state control than if you're going to a jump point. So state control is basically keeping her pumped up while you are in transit, right? It's really simple. You take, well, it's a really simple idea, right? It's not easy, but it's a really simple idea. You take the energy level. We talked about energy level in the last founding member call, but you take the energy level of the environment you were at before, and you have to transfer that to the car, right? And or whatever means whatever, however you're going. If you're walking, you have to transfer it to the stroll, right? That sort of playfulness and fun time. And you want to transfer that, and you want to bring it with you the entire way there. So if you have an hour drive, you're talking about another hour of partying without drinking in a car facing the same direction, right? Like you're not looking at each other or dancing or anything like that, or touching a lot. You're sitting in a car, So you really have to make good use of things like mix. No, you wouldn't say mixed tapes or mixed CDs because that's 80s and then 90s. You'd have like, a playlist on your iPod, let's say, that is like a really pumped up, awesome, fun time playlist, right? And this is something that whenever you need to do this ahead of time, you don't get in the car and start fumbling around with it. You need to what was it? I think that Barney Stinson did something like this in a episode of How I Met Your Mother. Which is probably one of my favorite comedy shows. It's hilarious, and almost solely because of his character. But he had a like Let's Get Pumped mix or something, and it started with Shot to the Heart, and it's like he had this like ultimate party down crazy time mix that he made, and the whole night was like revolving around this mix CD, and all they ever listened to was like the intro to Shot to the Heart over and over again, but you want to have something like this that is just like something you can rock out to, that you don't want to turn up so loud that you can't have a conversation, but you really need to keep conversation light, fun, and playful in the car while you're going. And you want to revolve everything else. There are two ways to go, but the first way and the easiest way is to revolve everything around music. And about and having fun and having very, very high energy music, right? Some songs, the songs need to be fun songs. Like you don't want to put Unchained Melody in there, Oh, you could. That would be kind of funny, but it wouldn't be a pumping up song. It would probably have a lot of sentimental value for girls because they love that freaking song. But I guess because of Dirty Dancing, but But either way, I digress again. Instead, you want to think of stuff like Hey Ya, right, by Outkast. Great song. Great song for this exact purpose. You may not even like that song, but it will get the job done. You know, I guarantee you, if you hand a shot of Jaeger or a shot of tequila to a 9-year-old and they smell it, they will throw it on the ground, right? The reason why you drink alcohol isn't because you like it. It's because it gets the job done. Keep that in mind, you know? And it's the same thing with this playlist. This playlist, you may or may not love it to death, but when you get in the car, you just gotta give in to it, right? You already spent the whole evening drinking. You don't even like alcohol for the most part, unless you're drinking beer, in which case, you know, maybe you like that, or fruity, girly drinks, in which case, that's cool. Not there's anything wrong with that, you know? but either way, don't feel bad about putting on music that you don't really dig that much, as long as it keeps the energy high while you're riding back. So that's one way to go. And if you have more than one girl, or more than one person in general, in the car, or if you have a girl that's really high energy and like really smiling a lot and being very, very flirty with you, then you want to go this route. If, though, you have only one girl with you and not just by yourself, like if she's only one girl and she's super flirty, do it, you know, do it that way, go high energy. But if she's one girl and she's more like a quiet, soft-spoken, like she keeps trying to go into a deeper rapport with you, then use the car ride as a way to sort of go through a light rapport with her, right? And you're going to talk more about your opinions on stuff than anything, you know. You don't really need to say, like, you know, deep-rooted, love-based, rapport formula kinds of questions that you're you know, relating to back when you were a kid. Instead, it can be more like, you know, I hate McDonald's hamburgers, they suck, but I do love In-N-Out Burger hamburgers, they're awesome, you know. So, like, have you ever had an In-N-Out Burger? No, right? So it's like things like that, things that you might have, a conversation you may have in the car with somebody that you already know. Now, one of the biggest secrets that I know about attracting women is that if you act as if they already have a certain relationship with you, then they will 90% of the time buy right into it and just be a part of it. Now, this means that you can treat them like a buddy of yours, and they'll automatically go straight into buddy mode with you, which can be very fun. You can treat them as if they are a past lover of yours, and they'll go straight into that mode too. Women in general just love role-playing. And they love role-playing when they get dressed up and they go to a bar and everyone's looking at them, they're wearing heels and everything, they're already role-playing. That's what they're doing. Right? They're just getting done up so they can kind of play this part and let loose and be something they're not normally, right? Just kind of dance and have a great time and get all this attention, and then they go back to their regular life after that, right? So women love role-playing, and you give them the opportunity to role-play a little bit more if you can treat them as if they are someone who's already in your life the moment you see them, right? And if you do this to all women, you will go from being okay with women, pretty good, right? Where you can get, you know, get a girl to come back to your place once every maybe week or couple of weeks, right? If you go out a few times, to destroying shit, like just cleaning a house. Because the difference here is that you will be using this kind of this role-playing desire. You'll be playing this role-playing desire with women, and you'll be using that to you both of your advantage. And that is a really, really powerful tool. It's one of the biggest secrets that I learned. When I learned about this the first time, I didn't tell anybody about it because it is such a big damn secret. I didn't want to let anybody know, right? It sounds so stupid. Like, well, just act like you know already. Like, okay, well, that's kind of retarded sounding. It doesn't sound like it's really going to help anybody. If I said, it's like saying, hey man, be yourself, right? You're like, what the fuck does that mean, Josh? You know, that doesn't help me at all. So this is kind of a more advanced concept, but I talk about it a lot in the psychological space module of the 5-week body language mastery course. And that's available to you in the members area. So if you're in the members area, go check it out and watch that particular presentation that I did there. It's a very, very high high content, high value presentation. All those presentations are in the 5-week Biology Mastery course. So check them out. Check that one out in particular, because I talk about different hats that you put on when you're in different situations. Essentially, what you're doing is you're allowing her to wear a different hat, right? She's allowed to be this playful, fun, like girlfriend, flirty girl with you. Whereas with everybody else, she can't do that. So all really that you have to do is fully commit to pretending that she is already a friend of yours, or she's already like, she's an ex-girlfriend, right? Fully commit to it. You're being playful, but you're fully committed to doing that. Like, you're not going to break that mode at all. So you may go, oh my God. You may see a girl and be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. I told you, I get this bar. You don't come here, I get this bar. And you get Chippendales, right? Whatever it is, right? You get so-and-so bar. If you can do a gay bar, then that's even funnier, right? You get that bar, I get this bar. We go our separate ways. This is awkward, you know? You remember what happened last time we met up? Last time we met up at a bar, we couldn't stay off each other. You know, we started hooking up in the bathroom. There was that midget. It was kind of awkward. I got silly string all over you, you know, and we stained your glasses, which I didn't think was possible. You know, like, whatever it is. So you just, like, whatever. I got into 3 fights that night and with 3 different women because of you. I don't want to repeat that, you know. But you know what? For tonight, I want you to be my wing girl, right? So you're basically looping and tying all these banter moments together and creating a different mode for her, a sort of a role play for her. It's a story. It's not so much a bunch of short techniques. It's a story that you're weaving together. This is sort of the mastery level of using banter, is being able to link these together and being able to have a conversation where you literally are saying nothing of content. All you're doing the entire time is bantering. There's no content whatsoever. So when you can get to that point, I want you to practice that as much as possible. When you get to that point, though, then you can use that same concept when you're bouncing a girl from a current one location to another, especially to your place. And you can treat her as if you've done this before when she gets in your car, right? And this is a really powerful thing to do. So she comes, she gets in your car, and she sits down. The first thing that comes out of your mouth is should probably be like, and as a joke, like, okay, don't touch anything because this is a 007 car. So you may think you're hitting the air conditioner, but actually it's a missile. So don't shoot the missiles off. Don't drop the spikes in the back. There's an ejector seat that I know where the button is. If you ever say anything that's weird, I might hit it. You know, maybe like, this is the ejector seat button for the passenger side. So watch what you say. You're going to go flying. I didn't get in time to install the parachute yet, so I wouldn't do that, you know. So like, you just kind of joke around like that. You make basically have a silly conversation that you would have with a girl you've already slept with. Now what this does is it puts her in a mode where she's comfortable sleeping with you. I know it sounds nuts, but she will be. She'll be totally cool with hooking up with you, even just that night, even if she met you that evening. So I want you to remember to link that role-playing together, really make good use of role-playing, and take the time to practice this tool, practice this skill set, and really get good at it, because it is one of the most worn-in tools in my tool belt, because I use it more than probably anything else. Whenever you see guys walk up to girls they've never met and within 30 seconds make out with them, this is what they're doing. This is that sort of super skill set that they have. It's not something you can't learn. I learned how to do it, and I was able to literally walk up to a girl on the street I'd never met before and make out with her within 30 seconds. You can do this. It's not difficult to do. But you have to commit to it fully, and you have to practice frame control like this and practice keeping people's state, right? State up and keeping their state positive or whatever it is you want it to be. And the basic way to do that is just to pretend like they are going to do that already, and they will. And I know it sounds nuts, and it sounds really simple. It might sound too simple, but it really is that simple. So that is basically what you want to do. You want to either go the pumped up, like high energy state kind of way, or you want to go the lower energy, chilled out kind of rapport way, all the way there. Whenever you get to the place, you're going to transfer that mode directly to the environment you're going into. So if you were all rapport-like in the car, and you get to the bar, and the bar's all loud and crazy, bounce almost immediately to your place, right? Be like, ah, this is too nuts. Let's just do a quick shot and then head over to my place. You know, because I'm going to say hey to my friend here as a bartender. Whatever it is. Go in, get the drink, split. And if you feel like staying, once you get in there, stay. But if you don't, then split. And go and get in a place where you can have that rapport. If you're pumping them up a whole bunch, you're not going to get to your place and then be like, so tell me about your family. No, you're not going to do that. You know, you're going to be like, okay, let's get this bar. Boom, boom. We're having a great time, laughing, meeting some other people. And then you go back to your place for something a little more fun and lighthearted and everything. So that is that, right? That's logistics. And that's what I have to say about keeping stayed up and making sure that you can sort of get it back to your place to be able to take it to a sexual level. If that's something that she does want to do with you, which, you know, if she's following you around like this, she probably does want to. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to make it creepy and awkward and impossible, or natural and fun and easy for her to make that decision, you know? So that being said, if anyone has any questions, now's a really great time to drop them in. If you're listening online, like I said, you want to type your question right there into the Q&A box. If you're listening on the phone, which some people are, you want to press *2 to raise your hand if you have any questions about that process. If you don't, I don't see any questions.
Looks like we did get one question.
Oh, did we?
Mm-hmm.
Is it online or is it on the phone? I don't see
online.
It. Oh, can you read it?
Yeah. I'm not sure who asked it, but he said, should you let a girl lead if she's really into you or all over you?
Should you let a girl lead? Almost never will you let a girl lead, even if she is all into you and all over you. It doesn't mean you need to do something she doesn't want to, of course. You know, if she's all over you and she's really attracted to you, then you can, you know, you can just be like, hey, slow down, let's you know, stand over here. You know, whatever, it doesn't matter what you do. Stand over here so we can flirt better, or, you know, let's walk over here so we can make out, and then we'll come back like nothing happened. You know, whatever it is, you need to make those decisions. You need to be the person suggesting all this stuff and doing it. You know, there are rare occurrences where women actually do want to lead, but I typically don't like that, because whenever you get to a place later on where there is an opportunity for you to capitalize in some kind of frame control, like we were talking about earlier, and state control when you need it, then it's really difficult. It's really difficult to control an environment when the other person has been controlling it the entire time, right? A lot of, again, coming back to cougars here, and the dirty martinis from earlier, a lot of older women who are going to bars specifically to pick up younger men will try to control the environment often. They try to control it a lot, right? And sometimes they like that. Sometimes they want to control the whole thing. But don't expect to have any power later, right? So if she gets you to her place and she decides she doesn't want to sleep with you, you're done, dude. There's nothing you can do. You might as well just split, go back out, and keep going, you know? Try your chances somewhere else, you know? Instead, what you want to do is focus on putting your own terms in and making sure the compliance isn't too crazy on her end. You want her to do stuff for you instead of the other way around. So in short, no, it's not really okay for her to lead like that. That's the short answer. The longer answer is that, yeah, it is okay, but when you do that, you lose control and you don't know what's going to happen. There are a lot of women that will tease a lot. They tease men a lot, and they enjoy teasing a lot. So they will literally turn you on, and they love seeing that happen and having control over you, and then say, okay, let's go back to my place and have some fun. You go back to their place, and they're like, you know what? I don't really want to hook up tonight. No, I don't want to do that. So I think you need to leave. You know, and they just want to have control. They just want you to watch you squirm and like have that power over you. A lot of strippers will do this, often actually. So what you want to do instead is add your own terms. If you don't know how to do that, then go back over the Tao of Badass. There's several points in the Tao of Badass where I talk about compliance and congruence tests. and add your own terms to that compliance when she says, oh, I want to do this, or let's do this, or we're doing this, or do that over there. She tells you what to do. Then you just go, you just say something like, okay, we can do that, but first, I want you to answer a question. And if you get it wrong, then we're going to stand over there, and you're going to buy us a round. But if you get it right, not only will we stand where you want to, but I will buy us a round, and, you know, I'll put $5 in a jukebox, and you can play whatever songs you want. Whatever, like, you know, whatever it is, right? And I'll do a jig, right? Whatever it is. And then just try to win. You don't have to win, or you can give her a question that is playful and fun. You can, if you don't have the five questions game under your tool belt, this is probably the best game I've ever played that I really love a lot. It is one of my favorite games, like, you know, word game kind of things to play with women like this when they give you compliance tests. And basically, it's if you ask them if you know, okay, like, we'll go over there. How about this? I'll play you a game, and if you win, we'll go over there. If not, we're going to stay here and we're going to do whatever, right? So you basically have your own rules in there. And at this point, it doesn't matter if you win or not, but because ultimately she says, okay, fine, let's do that. She's already agreed to let you lead, so you already win, right? It's kind of a sneaky thing to do. But she doesn't know that, you know? So what five questions is it's a really fun game to play, is you basically say, okay, well, I'm going to ask you five questions, and all you have to do is get every question wrong. Now, a lot of women have a really hard time doing this, blah, blah, blah. You can kind of go into elaboration with that because they accidentally tell the truth. But, you know, you can use that as an opportunity to banter a little bit. But I have a feeling that you're going to be really good at lying. Just like looking at you, I can tell you're well-versed, you know, and the act of lying. So she goes, okay, fine, so go ahead. So then you go, all right, first question. Where are you? And she goes, I'm in Timbuktu. Right, she gets that wrong. She gets it right, then you win, right? So she has to get it wrong. I'm in Timbuktu. And you go, okay, great, cool, okay, good. Then you go, okay. This is really important right now, by the way, this is a side note, that you don't say second question, third question, fourth question. You don't do that after that. After the first question, you're not going to be counting anymore. So you go, okay, good. What's my name? And they go, your name is Freddie Mercury, right? And you go, okay, so that's wrong. Good job. All right, so without looking, what color are my shoes? So this is a really important one, because what happens is their subconscious mind tries to generate a color, and it's almost always the color of your shoes. This is a really fun one. It's a little more difficult, but it's not actually the trick. It's just a difficult question that seems like it's the trick, right? So it's kind of a sneaky thing here. Next, after she gets that right, then you stop for a second and you go, how many questions is that so far? And she'll go, three. And you go, that's wrong. Oh, no, it's right, it's three. You get that, you know, that was the fourth question. You know, we're going to stay here, or you have to buy me a drink, whatever it is, right? So that one's really typical. People will usually screw that up pretty fast. But every once in a while, a girl will say 10,000, or she's really paying attention, you know? And then if she does, you go, oh, you got me. You know, I was trying to trick you on that one. And then she was like, yay, she'll start. As soon as she starts celebrating, you go, have I ever played that game with you before? And she goes, no, you never have. And you go, that was the fifth question. You know, and then you win. I've only lost this game like once. I probably played it about 600 times. Because I would play it literally 10 to 15 times a night when I was single, because it was so fun and I'd always win. And I'd always get free drinks and it always had a great, super positive response. You know, and you can do it in pretty much any environment and you don't seem like a weirdo. You know, so if you are going to, if she is kind of all over you and she's trying to tell you what to do, unless she's saying, take me home right now. If she's saying, take me home right now, take her home right then. Be like, okay, let's go. Grab her by the hand and just start walking. But again, you're leading. You're taking her by the hand. You're just walking with her behind you, right? But in any other environment, like any other situation than that, you don't want to risk the chance that she's going to start to lead over and over again, and then you're going to lose control. So, hope that answers the question there. Brad, do you have anything to add to that?
It's pretty good.
Thank you. do you have anything to add to my long rant?
Yeah, just generally the rule is, I mean, girls want to be led, so it's not really, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can take control of the situation, but ultimately you want to always be leading because she's going to be looking to see if you're the kind of guy that is always leading. So,
And it'll make her
just
a
as
lot
a
more
general
comfortable.
rule, yeah.
It'll make her a lot more comfortable with all the decisions
Yeah,
you're
it
making.
makes her comfortable enough to trust herself with you and trust you with her attention and her eventually her body. So, I mean,
Vagina.
subconsciously, you know. Yeah, vagina, you know, sensitive area.
I've heard. I don't have one.
But
I don't have one as far
if
as
you
you
want to
know.
understand why she's looking for you to lead, I mean, she's looking to be able to trust you. So you have to
Exactly.
show her that you're trustworthy.
Right. And the best way to do that is to make a series of good decisions, right? That will work out in her favor. So, and you can't do that unless you are actively making decisions. So, we have one more question, and then I think we're going to hold off on the banter until the next call. The next call is next week, just to kind of get you guys on the right page there. It's going to be on the 22nd. So put that in your calendar, same time, of course, as this time. So we'll get to the banter, doing perfect banter next week. But for now, Brad, do you want to read this last question from Jonathan?
Yeah. Jonathan asks, how do I manage my own state and how is it different from confidence?
Okay, so confidence technically is, well, your value is your confidence and your value is your self-worth, right? So, but if we look at confidence, completely out like in a very, very technical term for confidence, it is your knowledge or your belief that you can do something well. That's confidence, right? So I have confidence in my ability to, shoot a bow and arrow, let's say. I don't really, but if I did, I would say that. So actually, I'll just say surfing. I have confidence in my ability to surf, which I actually do. So when I'm talking about surfing or I'm out surfing, I seem extremely confident when I'm doing it. Whenever you get into a new environment, though, your confidence will always wane. It'll always feel like, okay, well, I don't really know this environment. I only know what I'm doing. I need to practice this, and I need to build my confidence up, right? So what you're gonna do is, well, sorry, the difference here, rather, the difference between managing your state and confidence. Is that managing your state is basically managing how your body reacts to you not knowing what you're doing, right? So as your confidence gets more, as you get more and more confident talking to women, which will happen as you talk to women more often, of course, and you get positive responses and you do things right, then you won't have to worry about your state dropping as much. Because usually what happens whenever you're dropping your state is that you're realizing in the moment that you're not very good at something. And when you realize you're not very good at something, you begin to want your confidence begins to wane. You begin to think, oh, I'm going to screw this up. What if I do this wrong? You start to get kind of needy. All of your interactions then are about you proving to yourself that you can do it right and not about what's best for the situation, right? So what you have to do is you have to be in a state of confidence. While you're going out as much as possible, which means you have to go out as much as possible. Well, that's one of the reasons why our boot camps sell out so fast is because when you go to a boot camp, your confidence around talking to women is boosted by about 10 times over a weekend. Now, normally that would probably take you about a year. So people get results they would get in a year, they get them in a weekend, And it's because we expose them to this environment and teach them as they go. So instead of thinking about managing your state and confidence as being the same thing, just ask yourself if you are very sure that you're going to do a good job. Like you're sure you're going to go out and rock it tonight with women. And if the answer is no, you're not sure, then managing your state is all that it is making sure that you are thinking about things in a positive light, A. And then be distracting yourself so that you're not focusing on things that get difficult. So you want to run a longer game. The best way to manage your state in an environment that you're not used to, where you know nobody, is to A, pretend like you have an internal frame. That's one of the easiest ways to do this. This is where, if you don't have an internal frame, the best way to tell if you have an internal or external frame is to actually watch the first video of Hacking Attraction. It's in your members area. You have it. If you have all the videos of Hacking Attraction, then you have access to a lot more really in-depth and amazing concepts and material. But if you have access to the first video, at the very least, then go in and watch it, and you'll see a whole series of different personality typing questions that I use to teach you about what your superpower is when it comes to meeting and attracting women. Not least of which is figuring out whether or not you have an internal or external frame. So if you have an internal frame, you get your feedback from yourself only. You don't really get you don't really know if you've done a good job because someone else tells you you've done a good job. You know you've done a good job because you think you have. And if everyone else in a room says that you're nuts and this is stupid and you did a terrible job, an internally framed person would probably be like, nah, I don't think so, right? They wouldn't have any emotional response to that. They'd probably just be like, I don't think so. I think you might be wrong about that. If that's not you, it's rare that that people have internal frames. If that's not you, then you have to understand that there's a superpower that goes along with having an external frame. I have an external frame, and it allows me to build rapport very easily. But it made approaching women a lot more difficult in the beginning. So what I would do is I realized that no one knows the difference between whether or not I have an internal or external frame when I first meet them. So I just pretended like I had an internal frame. I would just do things that seemed like I was completely oblivious to the people, to the reactions or realities of the people around me. I would stand up, walk across the room, pick a chair up from one table and move it to another one and sit down at that table not knowing anybody, right? Now, that could be, super confident looking, but if you do it and you're trying to, pretend like you're confident, you're going to come across like a complete douchebag. But if you do it from a place of thinking that you have an internal frame, I didn't realize that was a weird thing to do in the first place. I'd never even crossed my mind. I just kind of did it, you know, and I wanted to sit down and talk to you, so here I am. You know, if you do that, then you will have a lot more leniency around frame control. You'll be able to, your own state control. Oh, are you there? I think I lost you there for a second, Brad. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, cool. I got to hear a nice ringtone there. So, essentially, Jonathan, what you're asking here is how do you control your own state? The best way to do it is to not let it get out of control in the first place. And that is the best way to do that is to basically act like you have an internal frame. And that means that you're going to be doing stuff without thinking about it at all. You have to react immediately. This is why people say a lot of pickup artists use something called the 4-second rule or the 3-second rule, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't really matter. Ultimately, it's the idea that when you see a girl that you want to talk to, you have up to 3 to 4 seconds to sit there not talking to her before you have to walk up and say something. And if you start living by this rule, especially if you have a couple wingmen to go out with to kind of help you meet women, if you start living by this rule, then you will find that your success rate skyrockets because you're not hesitating and you seem like you have an internal frame. And so your evening goes a lot better because people treat you as if you have an internal frame. They treat you kind of like a... kind of like you have, nothing they say is going to affect you in a negative way, so they don't even try to be jerks to you, you know? So that's one of the best ways to do it. And then if you don't do that, if you're out and you're actually feeling kind of crappy and your night's going bad, start bar walking. Bar walking, again, is I believe I covered that in the psychological space module, again, of the 5-week body language mastery course. So check that out, and if you don't know about it already, that is the best thing you can do to keep your state up. It's what's called the bar walk. Take notes on it and just do it next time you go out. That's the best way to do it, Jonathan. So, Brad, you want to read the next question here?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, actually. Is it possible to seduce two twin sisters or two sisters in general?
The answer to that question is, it's kind of like asking, Is it possible to shoot? That's like asking if it's possible to shoot a moving target before anybody thought that was possible, right? Of course it's possible. I mean, it definitely is possible to do it, but it's also going to rely very heavily on your ability to control your environment. You have to have enough value as a man built up so that they overlook the fact that they're sisters and that they might be hooking up with each other, and seeing each other naked. A lot of twins, in particular, are counterintuitively not that open to threesomes, especially if they're very good-looking twins, because they have a lot of guys that ask them. Like, they think about that early on. Guys have that fantasy kind of early on. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're typically comfortable with it or not. You can seduce two of them at the same time. Now, what you want to do, the hard part about doing this is actually not isolating one of them and sort of extraditing the other, right? Keeping them both involved is very, very, is a very, not, it's a very advanced skill. It's not actually that difficult to do. It's just a very advanced skill to take part in. I'm pulling this from hooking up with two sisters at the same time. I've never hooked up with twins at the same time. I have had the opportunity before, but just because they're twins doesn't mean they're good looking. So I didn't necessarily take them up on that all the time. Though at the end of the day, no one ever really asks you whether or not the twins that you hooked up with at the same time and had a threesome with were good looking. So I guess I could have done that. They're just like, whoa, that's awesome, but still, it could have been like two, the birth of twins, the birth of sisters. But either way, the most important thing to note when you're seducing two women at the same time is you have to equally distribute and escalate touch. This is very important. If you start to escalate touch more with one than the other, you'll isolate the other one. And oftentimes with sisters, the one who's being isolated will leave, and the one who's with you will feel bad, and she'll want to leave too, especially with twins because they have a different kind of connection. So what you want to do is boost this sexual escalation at the same time, so that you are escalating both women at the same time, and particularly around touch. Again, you want to follow the 5-week Body Language Mastery Course module on touch for this one because it's a really important one. And I talk about a lot about the different types of touch and what's called TLC, which is temporary, lingering, and constant touch, the three different types of touch, and when to do each one. I think I talk about that in the Tao of Badass as well. So you definitely need to know which one to do when, but the most important thing is that when you shift gears with both girls at the exact same time. So if you're going to be doing attraction, if you're in the stage of attraction, and you're going to switch to rapport with both of them for just a moment, don't spend too much time in group rapport because you can't do that very well. So you want to build a lot of attraction and build a lot of value, and then and get them out of a public environment as soon as you start to get sexual with them or start to make out and everything. And then what you'll do is you need to keep both of their attention while you escalate touch with both of them. So if you're turning to face one, you have to be touching the other one. You can't just turn to face one and turn your back to the other one. It won't work like that. If you're giving one negative body language, you can't give it to her for very long because she'll start to think that you like your sister and she'll split. So this goes for girlfriends who are really close to girlfriends in a sense that the way that women use it, which is like friends that they have, but also actually bi girls. If you turn your back to their girlfriend that they're literally dating, then you can really lose a lot of that attraction and a lot of that interest from one or the other actually, and you can lose the attraction for the one that was already interested in you because you may feel bad. So keep that in mind. That was kind of a quick and dirty version. I like that question though. I didn't expect it, so I definitely dig that. So, Brad, are there any more questions here?
Yeah, there's one more.
Okay, why don't we take that question and then we'll call it a call here. Call it a call.
All right. Says, are there good ways for using Facebook to meet friends of friends without being seen as a creeper?
Yes. The best way to do that, it used to be a lot easier with Facebook. Now there are people use Facebook so much, it's like such a overused website, that it's kind of difficult to get in to get this in the way it used to be. A little bit harder, but you can do it. One thing you can't do that you used to be able to do is go, "Hey, your so and so is your friend, and blah, you know, how what do you think about them?" Or, "Ha ha ha, they're kind of funny," or, "They told me I should meet you," or whatever, right? You can't do that anymore because I have thousands of friends on Facebook, thousands, and most of them are followers of mine. They are fans, and they find me on Facebook and they add me. I haven't met them, right? So there is, and hot girls have tons and tons of friends on there too, right? Friends that they don't know, just quote unquote friends, you know, guys who are basically wanting to hook up with them, and like their photos. And so they add them on Facebook so they can look at their photos, you know? So what you have to keep in mind is that you can't just randomly ping somebody and use the, "Oh, hey, my friend knows you" kind of introduction thing. Instead, you have to go kind of a different route. One of the best ways to do that is to use Facebook posts as your way in. One thing you can't do is you can't make a post and then tag somebody in it that you don't know. You don't want to do that, right? Because it seems like spamming. Now, again, you used to be able to do this again, like maybe even like 3, 4 months ago. This was okay, but it's not anymore, you know? So what you want to do instead is use your own Facebook wall posts to post in groups that are in ideas that are intriguing to her. So if she has an interest, or she has a mutual, let's say that you see that she's interested in traveling, right? And she has one of her interests and one things that she follows on her Facebook wall is traveling, right? Well, one thing you might do is post like a tag to that traveling group. So you might be like at travel group, whatever, right? Just got back from, or just looking at pictures of the Galapagos. Anybody have any idea how to get there, right? And what will happen is because whenever you're tagging that friend, that common interest group on that post, it'll show up on her wall. So this may take a while. It's kind of a longer game here to do that, but very important that you take your time with it and that you don't rush it too fast. So if you do that, you'll pop up and she'll start to see you in these different groups, and then you can ping her about her pictures. Okay, so here's what the most important thing is: post a comment on one photo, not 10 or 2 or 3, one, just one, right? And don't pick the sexiest photo she has and comment on that. And don't say, "Damn girl, you hot." Like, don't say shit like that, you know? Instead, you want to say something like, "Look at that crazy dude in the background of this photo. It looks like he's got a knife," you know? And then like joke about it a little bit. And then maybe just laugh, winky face, the end, and back off, right? If you do that, back off and only do one of those. If she doesn't respond back, do one of those every, I would say, 3 weeks, man. Like, not very often at all. Otherwise, you're going to come across as super needy. And you don't want to comment on the photos that are just like obviously super sexy and trying to grab your attention. Instead, you want to comment on the ones that aren't trying to grab your attention, that seem like, someone might actually overlook instead. So anyway, that would be the best way to do it. Like I said, it used to be a completely different game on Facebook, but now, because of the way it's changed, the way things have changed, it's a lot more focused around, slow game, sort of taking your time with it and not rushing through it. So that should help you out a lot, though. Actually, that's how I got back in contact with my girlfriend now, is I hadn't talked to her in about 6 years, and I saw a photo of her on Facebook, and she was making a funny face, and I was like, "You look like Jim Carrey in this photo." And then I put a link to Jim, and I said, I think I quoted, and I said, "Kind of hot in these rhinos," which is a line from Ace Ventura. So, and then I put a link to like a picture of him like climbing out of a rhino, which was in Ace Ventura. So it was just like a really silly thing that I didn't do anything else, right? But she saw that and she sort of responded back next time I saw her online. Another thing you can do is use the chat as well. After you comment once in a photo, you can use a chat to ask her a question. But again, you want to make sure you start out with something kind of lighthearted and then go straight into banter. Don't try to get sexual with her or anything like that. Just go straight into banter, and then she'll follow you there and she'll laugh and everything. And don't be in a huge hurry to meet up with her or hook up with her or anything like that. Those are my biggest notes for that. So hopefully that helps. That's all I've got for you guys today. I don't have time for any more questions. Sorry if you guys had one and I didn't get to it. But yeah, I mean, I really appreciate the questions. And next week, this same day of the week, Thursday next week, we are going to have another FMC call. And we're going to be announcing something kind of big on that call. So make sure you show up to that. It's a big deal. We have been waiting for this moment for a while, so I'll let you guys kind of wait until next week to get that information. But if you are going to, if you don't normally show up to the calls, try to show up to that one. I know that you guys are on the call right now, so obviously you do show up to calls. But if you're listening to a recording right now and you don't typically show up to that, to those calls, make sure you show up to the next one, because I have a bigger announcement to make, and I want to get it out so you guys can check it out. So anyway, thanks a lot. Thanks, Brad, for being part of this. Appreciate it.
Of course.
And I'll let you guys rock it, and I'll talk to you next week, same time, and we're going to be going over banter, and we're talking a lot about how to link these different banter lines together. So come with your questions about banter and bring it. I want to debunk as many questions and as many myths as possible and help you level up in the next call. So look forward to that, guys. Till then, stay badass, and I'll talk to you next week.